Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. You know it's going to be a good show when Rudy Reyes is in the house.
What?
Yes, dude. Let's fucking get it today.
Let's go.
So much all the time. Just go.
Damn it.
He doesn't stop.
Who's your little twink friend?
Look at this handsome.
Oh, what?
We're coming right out of the gate strong.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
You bring a little man here. His feet don't even touch the ground over here.
I'm dangling like this is a park bench, and I'm about to ask if you have games on your phone. That's what it feels like.
You're like Macaulay Culkin and Home Alone.
The way you're describing that, you were easy pickings for the pedos out there.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, this kid might be surprised.
He goes to the cops and turns you in. This kid won't leave me alone.
This is why he's got a beard to keep the pedos away.
They made me go shaven, too.
You look great on Military Mysteries, our new program. Ronnie, coming from an intel background, Army dog, and has been running with his team Funker 530 for some time, and it's done very well.
Ultimate Pogue. Definitely.
No, this is an amazing cat. We met 2 years ago, right? About 2 years ago?
Yeah, a little over 2 years.
I dropped Target from SAS in Vietnam, came back lean, tan, freaking exhausted. And to be honest, the program, Military Mysteries, he really freaking carried me for the first few days because I was so tired, and then we freaking hit our vibe. And I'll tell you, I saw the premiere, what was it, 2 days ago or yesterday?
Yeah, I saw it on your Instagram story
Monday night.
You guys were watching it. How did it turn out?
It turned out way better than we expected. The final edit's incredible.
Yeah, they give us little bits and pieces over time, but you know, we don't get to see the final thing until, you know, right up close to launch. So, I mean, I'm kind of a perfectionist myself. You know, as I'm watching, and this is kind of my first time.
Are you really a perfectionist?
A little bit.
Yeah, was he really?
Yeah.
Because he didn't perfect that height. I'm just saying.
You know what?
You could have bought yourself a growth spurt.
I did bring boots, but I didn't wear them. They give me at least an inch. Okay. We could all use an extra inch.
Sure.
I could at least.
Yeah. You definitely could.
Yeah, who could?
We represent the lollipop land.
I mean, I had to shorten my chair to make you seem normal on camera.
Thank you.
I raised mine up a little bit, my feet are dangling.
How am I?
You and him? I think you guys are the same height.
No, they're not.
We are.
We're absolutely the same height.
Rudy carries himself differently. He carries himself like a man.
Like a dancer.
Like a grown-up.
He's floating through the air.
Yeah. This guy carries himself like he's hanging out with Kevin Spacey on a Saturday night, and
Ronnie's
it's a little.
He's got this shoulder roll because he's a boxer as well, and he's got a shoulder roll, you know, and he intentionally is gracious when he walks into a place because he's been some pretty fancy joints with me, and through this process, whether we're, you know, we're up with Tulsi on a rooftop in New York City, or with Scaramucci at a nice joint, or what have you.
I lit his ass.
Dan loves Scaramucci.
Yeah, he's just very humble, and
he's talking about him.
Him, he's
Ronnie,
very humble.
Not Tony Scaramucci. Scaramucci's a cunt.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. Scaramucci, the mooch.
You don't need to weigh in on it, but we already went through the pace.
That's the only person to walk. No, two people have walked off the show.
Oh, you've had him on. I had him on my show too, right? Remember?
One was a soft walk.
Yeah,
it was the guy who started, what the fuck was it?
Vox,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He wrote this book called 1 Billion Americas, where he thinks America should fucking expand its population up to 1 billion people. And Ross was like, yeah, that's fucking stupid, right out of the gate. And then like 5 minutes in, the guy's like, oh, I'm having internet problems, I gotta go.
And then he just clacked off, and that was it. Yeah.
Just rolled out like that?
But so the camera was down, audio was still on, and we could hear him jamming what appeared to be a toaster up his asshole.
Yeah. You wouldn't have known it was a toaster except for he depressed the thing and then it popped back up.
Yep.
Because it wasn't plugged in. You know how they work, right? I'm like, oh, that's
a fucker. Made the ding sound and everything.
That's a
toaster. Like an
M1 Garand. So here's what we never discovered. If he put the whole toaster up his ass or if he was firing toast up into his ass.
Couldn't figure it out. But the last words we heard before everything clicked out.
It's kind of like the silver bullet. The toast was going up.
It could have been a medical procedure. Yeah. We don't know that.
But he just goes, pop tarts. And then the whole thing went dead.
Are you serious?
Yeah. The whole thing went dead. And I was like, man, I wonder if he actually ate the pop tart or not.
It's like his rosebud.
It sure is.
Yeah.
So it was him and Scaramucci. Those are the two pieces of shit that walked out.
Wow. Scaramucci was trying to call Ross and myself Chinese agents or sympathizers or Russian something because we didn't force our employees to get vaccinated.
Right.
Oof. I'll give you a little story about the mooch.
So you pull that microphone into you.
So remember, I was the red man, so I had to fight all the guys. And of course, the mooch, he was 56, 57 at the time. And every day he seemed to, his center of gravity dropped lower and lower, and he turned into almost a little crab-like guy. The Jordan heat was wearing him out.
Yeah.
So I fight everybody at their level. I don't just crush all these freaking old people and women. I fight them at their level. And I gave him a Benny. I still took him down and got on top, and then I rolled over so he could get in some shots.
Is a Benny a Benadryl?
No, I'm not sure where the term comes from, but I mean, I do him a favor.
Really drugged him.
I do him a favor.
You gave him a Benadryl and then just beat the shit out of him a little bit.
So you ready for this? He gets up off me and he goes, "Yeah, back in Jersey, I was known as a street fighter, a real brawler." What? Dog, you can barely hold your pants up, son. Anyway, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Production's on me, like, Rudy, don't kill everybody on the third day. We're going to have no show. That's him. I'm known as a brawler. Yeah. You know what? I'm a street fighter.
And then how did he end up?
Oh, well, okay. It got rough. So Matt DiMeo, my fellow Italian, American and Marine Corps brothers over there. So is Ronnie here. We're out having dinner with him and his wife, and this guy's bluster and power about, you know, impressing his wife, who's considerably younger, pretty lady. The show hadn't come out where he quit yet. That episode hadn't come out.
Yeah.
So it came out the next week. She was so angry about how emasculated he was.
Yeah.
Next thing, Scaramucci explodes, reaches out to Remy, Billy, Foxy, myself. You took my time with my restaurants and the love that I have for you all, and you took advantage of my generosity. I run this town, and I can't believe I'm stabbed in the back, and you know, you guys are this, that, and the other thing, saying bad words and stuff like that. And we're like, yeah, okay, but Remy.
Yeah.
My freaking,
you know, Remy.
Seal, love Remy. He's on the show.
Seal brother from freaking Brooklyn. He says, yo, dog, New York City is my town. You want to be talking that mess? Yo, you might have a problem with me. And then all of a sudden,
shut it down immediately.
Apologies.
I'm sorry.
Email blast. No more problems. Anyway,
We're good now, I promise.
That's funny. Remy is a bad man. He was on the show.
He's a great man.
Love that motherfucker.
I know, he's real.
He is. Was sad, and I asked him about this. I was so sad that he wasn't coming back again for another season. What happened there? Contract dispute or something like that?
Well, he's working on his own shit, too.
Yes, and you know,
he's got
Remy,
that chameleon stuff going on now.
Remy's a director. He's a writer.
But the two of you guys together, and this is what I told him, I just love the chemistry, man, and it was just great.
Brother, he started working for Michael Bay. So that's like...
He gets dragged into a lot of stuff now, from the tech advisor.
He's up there. Yeah. He's up there. He's used to doing big projects with big money and a certain antiseptic quality where you're taken care of. When we're doing SAS and Special Forces, we're living in the field. It's just like being another 25-year-old again, a 25-year-old sergeant, and living it.
You get to a certain age where you don't want to live it anymore. I understand. Unless
there's an extra zero on the end of the contract. Okay, and I understand.
I wouldn't do that.
We have finite time in this business and on this planet, so I get it.
Yeah,
I get
and same, like, you know, some of the movies, you know, that we cast and everything else, when an actor didn't want to do it and we were offering them a bunch of money. I understand. One more zero would make the difference. Otherwise, they were like, dude, I'm rich enough and I'm good, and you move on. I don't think that's anything to be angry about.
No. We're getting older. Myself, Ronnie's new in the television and the bigger media business now. It is dangerous. It's cutthroat. You never know who to trust. And you take a lot of knocks mentally, physically, spiritually, because you don't know who to trust. You can do your best work out there and go nowhere. But you stay in it for 10 years, I guarantee, and you be dependable and bankable 10 years, you'll be somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm kind of lucky that I had you to guide through the process of all that. Because you, I mean, I remember watching you on Generation Kill way back. So, and I know you went through a lot of that turmoil over time, and it was like this mentorship relationship that Rudy and I started with. And now, I mean, we're talking almost every day, considering part of the family, and having Rudy, you know, kind of walk me through the nuance that I could never have expected, you know, in show business or in entertainment.
Yeah.
That's been huge for me.
Yeah, and with your height, it's like a father-daughter relationship. So. You know,
as we're sitting here, I'm wondering if there's like a business opportunity to use me as bait. You know, I feel like there's an opportunity.
Roddy.
Did you not tell him?
No, I kind of did. I said, you know what? These are my brothers, and these guys got a lot of outreach, and our veteran community love these guys. We got to do some guerrilla marketing for our freaking show, but how could I exactly explain?
Until you come on. The guy yesterday was shocked as fuck. Yeah. He walked out of there and was just like, what happened?
Was he?
He's just an ordinary comedian.
Yep. Oh.
Like I was like fucking around. I'm a fidgeter, right? So I was fidgeting around with a knife. He's like, oh, is that a knife? I'm like, dude, there's guns.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's an AR pistol sitting next to mine.
Yeah.
There's one here. There's one in the fucking guitar case, for Christ's sake.
There's a gun in there?
Oh, yeah.
And not to mention the weapon of opportunity, that freaking football helmet that you can crush a skull
or
with.
Kyle Curley.
Or the Cacosaurus Rex.
Cacosaurus Rex.
See that? Yep. That's a new fucking breed. You don't even know about that.
I don't even know about that.
Well, to be honest, if anybody knew about it, it would probably be you.
Yeah.
One would imagine
you've got some money stashed away in a 3D cock company.
He's 3D printing cocks 24 hours a day.
You know? Oh, my gosh. I've never considered that vertical.
You guys should have seen his outfit last night.
Yeah, I've never considered that vertical.
Yeah. You should have seen his outfit last night. 80s porn star, top
to
bottom.
Shocking. That's
why. But nobody could have pulled it off other than Rudy Reyes.
Have you seen it on Instagram?
Kind of a
70s. Go to Rudy's Instagram.
Yeah, go to Rudy Reyes Instagram. We'll pull it up.
Wow.
Pull up my story. You will see.
But here's the thing.
This is why you had to play yourself in a TV show, because they couldn't find somebody simultaneously as manly and gay as you.
They play that role. They could not.
It's impossible.
They could not, brother. And they auditioned. I told you this before. Remember, I came in and I had to sign.
Look at him.
Is that it?
Look at that.
In all fairness, you look like a porn director.
The director.
Yes.
Director.
Yeah.
Producer.
Not a star.
Something.
No,
you know,
I'm a producer.
He
director.
Just, he
Come
just
on.
Walks up to a girl in a club like. Yeah, you look like a whore. Right? I don't know how they do it.
And the guy on the far right, he looks like the porn star with the mustache.
There's
Matt right there. Look at this guy.
Matt DeMeo, condition one.
Magnum PI looking fucker back there.
Y'all here for the gangbang?
Holy moly.
You got that look.
And you guys know where my head's at. I'm saying, I'm kind of channeling Coppola.
Sure.
Scorsese. And
if
of course, no.
If they were fit,
this is who you're channeling.
There it is.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds.
Great film. Oh my gosh, can I say something?
Go ahead. Say whatever you want.
I got to audition. What's that gentleman's name? That incredible writer, director, filmmaker?
Paul Thomas Anderson?
I got to audition for him.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that?
Amazing. Amazing. And I believe I didn't get it. Or it's been pushed to the right because there's so many other businesses, meaning actors, because they're full businesses.
Sure.
I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but my freaking performance in my audition was excellent. Maddie saw it. It was a great audition. Just to know that I'm getting those calls now is freaking amazing.
But to be honest with you, where you're at right now is exactly where you should be, because they're not making scripted TV shows anymore.
You're exactly right.
And so everything is reality, and especially if there's a hook in it. You and I talked about this last year when you were on the show with Fox. It was such an overnight hit.
It's big.
And then it was global and everything else, and I know you guys are doing another season, and you've been traveling all over the place for it. Now the new show, what channel is that on?
That's History.
History. Yeah. So it's like, you're really attacking, because the History Channel, I did two shows with those guys.
You did?
And sold them, yeah. But the age demographic, and here's where I'm going with this.
Yes.
A History Channel age demographic, average age is like 55 or 56.
Exactly.
So you're getting a whole new audience for Rudy Reyes, whereas Fox is younger. So Fox, you're in that, 18 to 34 demo. Right. So with both of these series on two different networks like that, You're capturing everybody.
I'm
and
doing
I don't,
very well. Brother.
If you were just an actor, I don't know where you could go to capture all that demo
Thank
doing
you.
Scripted shit right now.
Thank you. Thank you. You're exactly right. And I would have not, there's no plan for this. And to go back, I never had a plan to be an entertainer ever in my life. But when the opportunity with Generation Kill happened, I saw how much money pretending to do war was making while, and it's not, and maybe some of it was the chip on my shoulder. And the other part was, wait a second, I can represent that a guy, a kid that comes from nothing, that has some discipline and serves his country and has a good reputation, can move in any direction they want to and fulfill themselves and be in a better place than they ever could have imagined. And that's why I stuck with it.
Yeah. And it was smart because the way the business has turned, now you're on top.
Isn't
you're on massively
wild?
Hit shows.
Yeah.
This one on History Channel. So I watched what I saw on the story. Tell the audience the name of the show and then what the premise is on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, so it's called Military Mysteries, right? So we're covering everything from, you know, missing pilots, example being the only Gulf War pilot to be shot down, the ebb, the flow, you know, what happened to his body. There were a lot of questions around, you know, Lieutenant Commander Scott Spiker.
Yeah.
And we're bringing in experts, you know. So Rudy and I are kind of just the point men. We're introducing each of these distilled stories, and there's six per episode. But what the real value that the show brings are the amount of is the amount of knowledge that we're bringing in with the experts, right? We've got, you know, former Green Berets, we've got weapons experts, historians. They are providing the nuance that Rudy and I might not necessarily have. I'm kind of a jack of all trades, if you will. Being an intel background and all source guy, more specifically, I'm kind of supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to speak to a lot at a very shallow depth.
Polymath, yeah.
Are you guys going to the locations? Forgive me for interrupting you. Are you guys going to the actual locations then too?
I pray one day we're doing it. When we imagined this, we were going to do True Detective. Me and this guy were going to be in the sands of Syria.
Like hunting Hitler.
Yeah.
Like what Tim did back in the day.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. I was really excited to go do diving at these at the Truk Islands with the Japanese planes and American freaking boats and ships being destroyed and such. And we imagine that what we do is that we lead as presenters, and we have a whole fire team, a whole squad of military experts, and then our writers who are very passionate about the project. Ronnie also is a writer too. We have to redline everything. It's just really, really incredible because it's factual, and the audience walks away with some things to think about, and they've got some stories that they normally wouldn't have heard. I mean, tell them about the deception plan, brother.
Yeah, so
in
that's
Normandy.
I've actually never done intel operationally. I have two deployments. My first, I was just a driver. But my second, I was an information operations guy. I was a IO chief for two different targeting lines, did military deception. So we're
is that a PSYOPs billet or what is that?
No. So it was the OML was 204s. It's IO. It was an IO billet. We had PSYOP MISO team that we could task organize.
Just for producing materials and shit like that. I mean, that's mostly
so
what
we
they
would
do downrange is just producing
we
materials.
We would set the campaign and you know, relay commander's desired effect. Mm-hmm. And then they would, you know, tell us, hey, this is what we think we could do to achieve that,
sure.
Right?
Were you the actual driver?
My first deployment, yeah, I drove.
And was it phone books they put you on?
No, we attached
like blocks on your feet.
The blocks were important, but the seat raised, and it was a stick shift up armored Land Cruiser.
Just
so it was
just
really
it
difficult
to
do. You got two blocks on the feet, and you're trying to do that with a up armored Land Cruiser that doesn't have that's got its old clutch.
Now
in it,
I can't.
So
all I can think about
shit.
Is you and all your fucking guys pouring out of like a little clown car.
Yeah, I've never seen a midget get out of a Humvee, and that, like that's
bump,
what I'm trying
the bump
to.
Plan, the bump plan for us was really interesting. Yeah. You know, all at once. Just, you know, fire drill right in the middle of Kabul there.
By the way, the photo that you saw yesterday, my director, you know, my Scorsese photo.
Yeah.
I wear shoes with some heel on them.
Do you really?
Of course, brother.
You lift
I like
up?
Them. Yeah.
I like
if
it.
You can put your shoulders back. You know what
so
I mean?
So does TC. Tom Cruise wears those. He's got some lifts.
Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all. We had a shoe company that did it, remember?
I actually got a height reduction surgery.
Oh, did you? What?
He did, yeah. He had two inches taken off.
What happened?
Gave it to a needy kid in China.
Rudy, come on, man. Don't believe anything I said.
I know. I'm so damn gullible. You've known me for so long. I'm so damn gullible. It's true. I am gullible as hell. That's why we work well together on military
mysteries. I wore my boots, like, to give me, like, cowboy boots to give me an extra inch.
You have to. You have to.
I'm 5'10". Stop.
That's what every short man says, 5'10".
No, brother, I really am. I really am 5'10". And, you know, when Jade met me for the first time, you know, I saw her on the freaking street. I just got out of this Mercedes with Amir Peretz and Boss Rutten's freaking training partner and Frank Grillo, right? Frank Grillo gets out, opens up the door for me to get out. You know what I mean? I see this hot girl. I walk over there. She takes a drag of her cigarette, puts it out like that, like that. I freaking walk over there. It's the first time we met. I grab her, kiss her. And then as we're walking into the hotel, she said, "Well, I thought you'd be taller." I'm like, I'm the tallest Mexican I know. Yeah. Have you seen my little brothers? They're 5'4" and 5'2". My mama is 5'0". I am tall, baby.
Yeah. She may have just been quoting Roadhouse, though.
Could be.
Oh, really?
That's the biggest line in Roadhouse. Yeah. I thought you'd be taller.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. R.I.P. Well, Swayze.
Go ask her, dude.
By the way, what an honor.
Yeah, of course.
To be the Latino Swayze?
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to do it, yeah.
Somebody's got to do it, you know? Gyllenhaal didn't do it in that last movie.
Wait, what the fuck were we talking about?
You were saying TV show.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, we were talking about being overseas in the TV show and what your background
doing
information.
The deception plan. Yeah. So we're going to go into the Ghost Army. We're going to go into Operation Fortitude South, more specifically, which is the deception campaign that really set conditions for Normandy, the invasion of Normandy. So we'll talk about noises in the jungle. So, these are all kind of the things that we studied coming up in deception and information operations. So those were, ironically, some of Rudy's favorites. My favorites end up being, you know, the weird ones about, like, dolphins and shit that we're using.
That's so
which well, he like has, the, like, a background.
Like in the Persian Gulf, using dolphins as bomb detectors and shit like that?
Yeah.
So you guys may know now it's been declassified and we have the program now moving into another stage. So in my recon career, recon Marines and SEALs work on a program called VSW to teach and train undersea mammals to combat enemy combat divers.
Yeah.
So we have...
Oh, do they rape them?
No.
Because dolphins rape.
They sure do.
Bob, pull up a video of a dolphin raping somebody right quick.
So you mean
Marcus,
people?
Because last time Marcus Luttrell was on the show, I asked him about it for like 20 minutes, and he would not answer any of it. And I go, we know you're training the goddamn dolphins, dude.
Yes, yes.
I thought it was bullshit.
Yes,
until like we started getting into it.
Ronald thought it was, he's just not this.
I was looking at the thing, and I was, you're not serious. We're not covering this, right?
This video. It's real serious.
I thought it was bullshit.
Dan told me about it, and then I asked Marcus Luttrell about it, and then when he shut up, I was like, oh, fuck, it's real.
We've been using dolphins, porpoises for a long time.
I think since the 60s.
Yeah. For a long time.
In all of our harbors, and we deploy them too.
Here too?
Yeah.
In America.
Like, here we go. Look
domestic
at this.
Domestic and
put this
foreign.
Up.
Yeah, look at this.
This. Look at that.
Look at
boom.
That.
Yeah.
No, we don't train them to do that.
You don't have to train them. That's what they do naturally.
She's
you just have to train them to do it to the right person.
That woman's 8 months pregnant.
You smell Russian.
Good luck, enemy frogman.
You smell Russian.
For sure.
And you got to teach him how to use his flippers to turn him over the other way.
Holy moly. Of course, it's on the New York Post.
What's that? Well,
such a solid rag.
It is. It's my favorite rag. I love the New York Post. They're splashy little headlines, you know?
Moly.
It's close to the Inquirer. It's close.
It is, bro.
I like it, though. It's got a fun picture, and it still opens up as one giant square.
And they
like,
still call people names in headlines?
Yes, every day. If you pulled up today's New York Post headline, I guarantee you it's something catchy and hilarious.
It's like local retard does something or whatever, right?
Exactly. Local retard is down on his luck. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they'll use the word down to kind of...
Brilliant.
It's a double entendre there.
What about that Theo Vaughn just recently? He's on The Cooking Show with the two Down syndrome brothers.
Yeah, that's fucking hilarious.
It was this, but it's the sweetest thing too, man. It really
sweetest
thing.
Well, to be honest, if you just close your eyes, you wouldn't necessarily be sure which one's Theo.
Sure wouldn't. You got to ask. You know,
I think he operates on that level.
Theo's a special guy.
Yeah.
No, he's funny.
He's funny
hilarious.
Shit.
I'm a big fan of Theo.
I think
he's the best comedian that exists right now.
I think
it's between him and Gillis, probably.
His stand-up is not so good. His natural just being here, like you guys. Yeah. You guys are fucking good. You guys are. This is where he really.
But stand up is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is different. There's a lot of stand ups that can't do.
Absolutely.
Just like quick reactions and shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I guess maybe that's some of the difference between scripted and film and television and scripted side. And then what we're doing, which is, you know, we have to process information. Digest it and then be authentic and give something that's compelling.
Well, do you know why you're so good on reality? I can tell you the honest answer.
Tell me, brother.
When you're in edits, in post-production, you've always got to have a guy to come back to and somebody who's talkative all the time and stays in it. And a lot of the guys, like let's take your last show for example, will kind of go silent during certain scenes or whatever. They'll always be able to cut to you for an interesting reaction.
You're right.
Or you'll be talking or motivating or inspiring
energy.
Somebody. Yes. And
energy.
Then you'll get more screen time because it's down to the editor.
You're right.
And it's who's the most interesting. And so when I watch that show for the first time and I hit you up afterwards, I go, nobody can take your eyes off of you. And
thanks,
this is
brother.
Really going to explode because I also knew what they were looking at in post-production. And then it's going to be the same way with him.
Yeah.
So when you guys watch the opening show, you know, you'll see him for about 2 minutes. And then the other 20 is going to be you.
Shut up, you bastard. No,
he's not wrong. I mean, it's exhausting on set. So I feel like I have to feed him some fucking NyQuil every once in a while.
And you can't, in a reality show, you can't have any downtime.
There is none.
But also, the camera's on you full time.
Yeah.
So if there's a boring moment, boom, it's going. The camera's going to the other guy no matter what.
Yes. You know what? It's interesting with what Ronnie's saying on the program. I believe... It's not because Ronnie's absolutely fan. I never worked with teleprompters before. Ronnie knows how to do all that. I was learning a new craft and a new skill in entertainment. Ronnie knew how to do a lot of things that I did not know how to do. I can do scripted, and I work with directors, and of course I can run freaking military selection programs. But this was a new thing, picking up camera, coming in here, and now brief to media, and now check in with your fellow host. So I was learning. I believe that they put a lot of screen time on me because I'm a bit more known, and that's a way to save some money and do some PR for your show.
Absolutely.
Put the guy that people know.
It's season one, too.
Yep.
So everybody's hoping to go multiple seasons.
We are.
That's how you do it. And with you, Ronnie, how many episodes is this? Is it your?
We've
is it 12?
Six. No, we've got six. We've got six right now.
Okay.
Shoot though, brother?
Well, so you have to remember, we only shot six episodes, but each episode inside of one episode are six individual stories. So they're trying to take these really complex situations and distill that down into, you know, whatever.
Is it an hour or a half hour show?
It's an hour long. Okay. So then you have to math to get down to exactly how many minutes.
41 minutes and 30 seconds with ads. Yeah.
And it moves fast, brother. It really, really does. And great, great production, great edits. I was impressed, bro. It doesn't look cheap. And to be honest with you, there's some cable stuff out there and it looks cheap. This doesn't look cheap.
Well, there's a thing that we would want to shoot with you.
Oh, what's that?
It's called Spread Eagle Jack.
Out.
Hear us out on this. Just hear us out.
We've been
out
talking
on this.
About this for a couple of years.
You
now,
guys are too much. Look, Ronnie,
no,
look how they're coming to me like this.
Your character is Jack.
No, bullshit. They started with me. Now it's your turn.
No,
right?
But here's the thing. So you're Jack. You're the hero. It's about a jacked, ripped, 5'10", muscular Latino man.
Like an Americana dude, though. Somebody who travels, fucking outdoorsman, and all this stuff.
Hold those guns in Navarone up to camera there. So you're seeing them, guys, on the video right now.
Legs.
And it's cliffhanger. So you start off and you're going up this cliff. Now, we don't know what your motivation is. Yep, there it is. Everything that's going on there, we don't know what your motivation is. We don't know why he's climbing up this cliff. Beautiful. The sun is starting to set. He's climbing up the mountain. And then the shirt comes off. Then the pants come off. And then it's a lot of oil after that you start applying to yourself.
Oh, boy.
Legs spread eagle. And then it's just a hardcore, aggressive jack sesh.
Yeah.
I have yet to do any promo with Rudy where his shirt didn't come off. So this is like perfect.
But I'm just saying, so here's what we're doing here. Most of our budget, by the way, is going to Rudy. Obviously, he's the star. He's the lead. And then the mega mo camera at the bottom. Because as soon as we see that eject, dude, but it's the ejaculation from that high up coming all the way down in slow motion.
We're going to play music where it's like it ramps up, and then at the apex of the ejaculation, it gets like that's when the fucking full orchestra comes in.
Can you take me higher? But we've got Asians, 12-year-old Asians who are just playing full orc, dude. Full orchestra down below.
Yes.
So the semen, they're dodging it. Some of it's getting on them, but the Megamo's got it, and you're just like, holy shit. But it's your body, and here's why we picked you.
Yeah, tell me, brother.
I'm a beach body guy, all right?
I know you are.
I skip leg day, okay? I'll maybe do legs twice a month tops.
Gotcha.
And even that's two times too many.
Yes.
But for you, you really work out everything. It's kettlebells all day long, everywhere you are.
You know me.
So I'm getting calves.
Yes,
I'm getting quads.
Yes,
I'm getting abs. I'm getting buys, tries. I'm getting back. I'm seeing a
two-handed
hogwash, dude.
Yeah, two-handed hogwash.
Spread eagle jack.
And it's like the optics are as if it was Predator, but they had done the entire thing on the beach.
Yep.
Right? So Predator meets Top Gun volleyball scene, basically. So that level of muscle mass and oil.
Take it easy on yourself, Dutch.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So right? it's a half-hour show, and it's 20 minutes. First one, the first episode, boom, you're climbing up a mountain.
Okay.
Second one, Empire State Building. Because we want to see you jacking off all over the world. Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
I want to see you jacking off on the pyramids. I want to see you jacking off what?
Yeah,
on the Great Barrier Reef. I want to see.
Well, here's a
tie-in for Force Blue.
Yeah, yes. We'll get to that.
We'll.
So part of the backstory of this is there was a guy from the 60s, and his name was also Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he did all this already.
Yep.
Right? And you're basically shooting, you're shooting a documentary where you're living his life.
Gotcha. Correct.
And basically what he did, he went to all the wonders of the world at first, and then he moved on to other stuff like the Empire State Building and so on. All the wonders of the world, and he spread eagle jacked at all of them.
I'm more and more convinced that Idiocracy was a documentary at this point.
It definitely was.
But I would watch this. Even as a straight male, I would watch this and be like, hun, come in.
Check this out.
It's 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday night.
Come in.
Why? What's the hurry? Spread Eagle Jack is on. Oh my God. I can see my wife coming in with popcorn and everything else. Where's he jacking off today? Where's he gonna jack off today? I don't know.
I'm very curious how the conversation went with Tulsi Gabbard here. I haven't seen it
we
yet.
We made fun of her for being Moana for a while.
Moana. I called her Moana on the show live on air
to
start with.
She's a soldier. She can
take it. She can take it,
yeah,
of course.
She likes it. Yeah. We had a good
time. She likes it.
She did. She likes people talk. If you when you go from the military to a job like that,
yes, sir.
Everybody starts talking to you a certain way, and it fucking sucks, dude.
It sure do. You know, like, people talk down to him his entire life.
You're so horrible. By the way, I hope Jade's too busy working.
Directional as well.
I hope she's too busy working to ever watch this one. Everybody else out there, please watch it.
I'm going
to
stop it. I'm going to DM it to her.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I give you $1 million an episode, if I give you the Costner money for Yellowstone, I'm going to give you $1 million
for
an episode.
Spread Eagle Jack?
Brother, your legs will be up, dude. Your legs will be up. Just...
Notice the length that he's got
there. Okay. I'm tall as shit.
True to length there.
I'm tall as shit. For him, it'd be like a little doll kicking legs over here, dude. Like,
But for the
my
hamstring,
feet don't touch the ground.
Yeah, but for the hamstring adductor tie-in, people would still tune in.
They sure would. Dink,
yeah.
Dink. Yes.
Even people that weren't necessarily interested in seeing the ejaculation.
Exactly.
Just
for the hamstring adductor. Yeah.
But because we want to see those toes dig in, right? And then the fucking calf muscles. The tendons, yeah.
H-N-N-N-N-G-G-G-H-H.
Let's
getting
see
up.
That.
He's getting up. Yeah. Oh my!
Look at that.
That's
dude.
These are the shots we're talking about.
The fucking as your godfather.
As you're on top of the fucking Empire State Building, and your legs are pressed in opposite directions to suspend you in midair as you jack over your shoulder, onto the crowd below.
Down below.
Four. What do you say?
Yeah. If you're at the Masters, four. Amen. Yeah. Corner. You know, four.
Yeah. Pounding off at the Masters would be something.
I made two horrible decisions in my life, and each time it was taking a shirtless photo with Rudy Reyes.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their list of shit that they don't like that they did. Those two times are at the very, very top.
And Ross just had this kind of little grimace on his face when you said that. He went.
No, you don't do it. You know what I'm saying?
But when he tells you to, you kind of just fucking do it.
Oh,
to be honest with you. He tells you to. So, okay, Dad.
It'd be like going on stage after Chappelle. You don't do it. No. It's just, hey, dude, I'm going
to
leave.
Well, to Ronnie's credit, we were training together when we were doing our shoot out there in Williamsburg. And, man, he's freaking ramped it up. This guy
I was like 260 on my friend.
Really?
One time I was 260.
Where did that go?
Where it came from. I've got this old photo of me holding my daughter. I promise I didn't eat her, but it looks like it. Now everybody's convinced that I just ate my kid.
Subway diet?
Really fat.
Subway diet.
Did you go Jared Fogel?
No, I went Rudy Reyes. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So, doing a Rudy Reyes workout's brutal. It's fucking brutal, dude.
Dude, on the way here, I'm sitting in the back eating, you know, a protein bar, dying. My central nervous system is like shutting down, and Rudy's like, "You good?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." Yeah. You know, I'm still recovering from that.
This motherfucker, it doesn't matter if he's in a hotel, a confined space, a janitor's closet.
Yep.
He'll get a full hour workout in that will alter your mind, and he'll sweat all over the goddamn place. Tim Kennedy's the same way too. Where Tim will find a way to get a workout in, no matter where the fuck it is, what it is. The two of you guys, and it's the same thing. Whenever people come in and work out with Tim, and then they come in here, they're just broken men.
Yes, or I've had a spiritual experience, right? Yeah. They're like, wow, wow, I am the gym.
Yeah.
I am the gym.
And for me, I'll do it one time and I'm going to save it, obviously, but just so I can tell my kids later in life, look who your father worked out with, Spread Eagle Jack.
That's so special.
Spread Eagle Jack, dude.
Jack LaLanne. Well, he's the star of Spread Eagle Jack.
Dad, was it Jack?
He's not Jack.
The guy who played Jack. He's the guy who played Jack.
I thought you guys were going to go with Simple Jack.
No.
You went much further.
Yeah. Although we could work some retards into the script.
We sure could.
Season 3 and 4, you could start taking chances.
Yes. Jack makes a wish, and it's you. And you get to jack off on others.
You do a John Cena thing.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what their last request is, you know, but you'd be a fun guy to get jacked off on. You know, my dream was always to jack off on Buzz Aldrin. And, you know, as the years tick away, I don't know that I'm going to do it because he's going to die soon.
Sure. Well,
fading dream at this point.
It is.
What do they say? That, like, maybe I'm a vampire or something because I don't age. So, hey, listen, everybody. You want to get on the, what is it?
Adrenochrome?
What's the app where I can say happy birthday and things like that?
Cameo.
Yeah, the Cameo masturbation freaking semen app that's coming out.
Yep.
You'll have me for 30, 40 years at least. So, hey, business is going to be popping. I'll be here.
The Jack app, dude.
I can't believe I've finally fallen into this. I'm going with it now.
Probably 25 seasons.
Grab it by the reins and ride.
Yeah. We'll shoot for 25 seasons.
Yeah, 25 seasons.
Oh, man. Could you imagine?
That's a lot of cum, buddy.
It is. Stone Mountain. I'd love to see you on Stone Mountain with all of our finest.
The sound of rising.
This is for Robert E. Lee.
Or you can take it from the other direction, too. Like, fuck the Confederacy or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a Confederacy.
Yeah, you could be a Union soldier in that.
Either way.
I respect both sides because they were all American.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
Great people. Beautiful people on both sides.
Yep.
Yeah, they sure were. The South had more dudes. They would have won.
Oh, bro. If their admin and logistics and their ports weren't shut down, then they might have done even better.
Are you guys doing Civil War stuff on your show?
Well, because the issue with our show is that we have video, so it's mostly from World War II on.
Okay.
So I don't know. I would love to do older stuff, but the stuff that has been documented has really been
Really challenging to go back that far because the original premise of the show was actually a lot like what we do at Funker, which was footage, right? Is what's happening and what you're seeing, context, nuance, right? But there are going to be certain episodes that have, you know, other types of, evidence being the right word there. And war's been around.
Yeah,
since
from the beginning,
you know, since there was fire, so there's plenty of content out there. But what I think we want to focus on is, you know, what the visually striking videos that you see. You know, we sent these like World War II Hollywood directors into World War II, and they brought back all this great propaganda footage, like hell yeah, let's go get them, boys. But it's that shit in between that, right? That never aired. That's the kind of stuff that we're after. I mean, of course, that's...
Ronnie, what's the bomber that we saw that just had a catastrophic explosion from inside? What was that?
I think it was a B-24.
And what was happening? They weren't even over. Well,
that one hasn't
Germany.
Aired. That one. I got you.
There's some
yet.
Wild. There's footage that I've never seen before, and you know, I had a top secret clearance. But there's some wild stuff, especially if we get into the nuclear program. The Cold War is so rich with things that we've never heard about. Mm-hmm. And there were numerous times that we were close to Armageddon with nuclear weapons.
Well, we're talking about our propaganda versus right. you know, our propaganda photo, like the one that everybody knows versus, you know, maybe a Russian propaganda photo. You know, it's so much more than just a bravado type show. I think there's a range of stuff that we're going to cover, and that's what makes it really cool. Getting the chance to do this is ultimately all I could have asked for as a career. You know, that's why I joined the Funker team, and that's why I got so excited to be on board for this.
Do you have a dream list already of stories that you want to cover on there that you didn't in season one?
Yeah, well, I have at least one. The one that I really want to cover as an eventuality is the Giants of Kandahar. You know, there's all these stories of like some Nephilim that, you know, special operations.
Forgive me, I don't know that one actually.
Nephilim.
Yeah.
Tell him, brother.
Yeah. What is
in
that
the
one?
Book of Enoch? It's an apocryphal book from the Bible. There's a lot of weird shit actually. Giants. Yeah. Ugly.
Real or not
ugly,
real?
Ugly angels well, who became demons.
There are special operations teams that say they encountered one, shot it, and killed it, and then nobody ever found out what happened to it.
This is recently. Yeah, look up Giant of Kandahar.
Bob, it's can you been, pull that up?
Yeah. Ronnie, what, last, I've never last heard month of this story, or so, actually. It's been in circulation quite a bit.
I wouldn't say that. This, I mean, this is like GWAT recent, but, you know.
But I mean.
The discussion being, surrounding it exactly. is, I'm only recently coming into it. Me it's too. Not one that I'm tracking. But, I mean, this is a.
Is this an AI picture of what he would look like?
No, this happened.
Yeah, that's real, 100%.
Well, it looks like a buddy of ours, that's why I asked, but yeah.
Look at that.
People don't talk about
man,
this.
That's heavy. Look at that. That little guy's you on that stick.
Oh, my goodness.
Little guy's you, and that's
actually a normal-sized guy with the long hair.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting story, you know. A buddy of mine brought it up after we announced the show. He's like, are you guys covering this? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? The giants in Afghanistan. You know,
so how big was the giant, allegedly?
13 feet tall.
That's why
tall.
I want to cover it. I don't know. I don't 13 know
feet
tall?
13 feet is Jeez. What they say, yeah.
What's the wow. tallest man we have here? It's over 8 feet, Bob.
Yeah, eight and a half.
Eight and a half feet, okay.
Right now.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Well, that's five more feet.
Well, have you
that's
seen
a,
the
that's
caloric?
Like a whole, that's like a whole nother me. Five more feet on top
sure
of
that. Sure is.
You know?
have you seen the dietary freaking swath available to you in the mountains of Afghanistan? How do you feed a 13-foot guy?
Eating I guess people and goats.
People and goats. Okay, very well answered my own question. You're right. Yeah. People and goats.
And to be honest, probably ass.
Got to. Yeah. You eat ass, really?
Oh, my God. So, yeah. I thought you
a
said
a guy
Oz.
Like you? No.
Allegedly.
No, like buttholes.
You know what, guys?
Like a little asterisk. You know balloon knot.
Fellas, you know what? Jade's eventually going to see this. And I have an 11-year-old son. He's going to see it. He's obsessed now that, by the way, I wasn't cool to my son. Until he figured out that I was a Call of Duty character. Now, my son thinks I'm the coolest dude. And, you know, it's awesome.
You are, by the way.
Thanks, my
you
man.
You are, by the way.
Thanks, my man.
What were you saying, Bob?
So this picture, whatever, the AI picture, this is actually allegedly what happened. Mm. I'm dead serious. A giant popped out of a cave, speared one dude on a patrol. The rest of the unit lit him up, killed him. They put him on a helicopter, like a corpse, to take him back to
HQ. Yeah, there's a whole
HQ
fucking story
and,
behind
and,
this.
And they never saw, never heard about it again.
Yeah.
Okay. And what year was this, brother?
2002.
Yeah.
Wow. That's when I was there.
Really?
Yeah, I was there in 2001 and 2002.
A
we were the first guys.
A giant could have killed you, dude.
Well, I don't know about that.
I believe him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that.
I believe him.
I like that.
I was fighting in Kandahar. That. I was fighting in Kandahar, and I was in some mountains, but then a bit lower than like the Hindu Kush, where the army was operating heavy about 2002. I was there 2001 and 2 from the very beginning when the towers were hit. We just left Timor. I was on the ship in the Persian Gulf, so we went into rock and roll there. But what is interesting is those that remember the footage of the Al-Qaeda training camps with the monkey bars,
mm-hmm.
I was there.
Really?
I never saw that footage. Did you?
You're Al-Qaeda?
Yeah.
Did you do it? Did you get on the monkey bars?
How funny would that be?
To have that footage today?
Just Rudy's.
No,
Rudy puts a fucking video of himself on Twitter making fun of.
Yeah.
Like, look how easy this is, you fucking bitch.
Yeah, with full gear, full kit.
Have you seen some of their stuff recently? Yeah, you know, with the rollerblades? Oh, yeah. Man.
But I didn't see the footage until a year and a half later when I came home. We never got that. You know, we were the Taliban from San Francisco, Johnny Walker Lind. I took control of him on that hit. he was wounded and then was passed off to me to control him and then get him into a Connex box. And it wasn't until about 24 hours later I realized he was American because of the beard. Man, there's so many things that you, when you're in it, because you're so pointed in what you're doing, there is no periphery. And there can't be, or else you're not going to have the focus. So I'm learning a lot on this show for that reason, because now I get to look at the periphery.
Rudy, you've been on the show before. You know we got some sponsors that put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/drinkinbros. 50% off every single item in the entire store. Come on, let's go, baby. 50% off mattresses, sheets, pillows, adjustable bases, covers, weighted blankets, mattresses for RVs, the new Venus Williams collection. All of it's 50% off. Plus, when you check out, you're going to see a 3-year pay-as-you-go program box. If you check that and you got decent credit, stretch that out over 3 years, and it doesn't matter what you put in the cart. They're forced to give you 50% off, and they're forced to stretch it out over 3 years. It's just a little charge in the background of your credit card where you're like, well, fuck it. Who cares? I'm already paying for Peacock, for Christ's sake, streaming apps that I don't watch. What's another fucking $20, $40 in the background there? It's a brand new bedroom set. Treat yourself. Huge fan of these guys. All the mattresses are made in the good old US of A. And I've got one in every single room of my house. I love Ghost Bed. They've been on the show for years. And they're only making better products as the years go by. So go to GhostBed.com/drinkingbros today. Get yourself a new bedroom set. Treat yourself. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros, all right? 50% off. Next up, we got firstform.com/drinkingbros. Talking about those microfactors, dog. It's not just a multivitamin. It's a convenient daily packet with 6 products included in it that provides you what you need on a daily basis to be healthy, because let's face it, we don't eat the way we need to in order to fulfill the demands of our body without getting the vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients in us consistently. We're going to struggle to reach any type of health or fitness goal, whether that's weight loss, putting on muscle, getting lean, or just overall being healthy. What's in these little pouches? Well, you got the antioxidants, you got the multivitamins, the probiotics, the CoQ10s, the EFAs, and the fruits and veggies. That's it, dude. Those are the ones you need every single day. Comes in a cardboard box, which is beautiful. Little trap door spits out that plastic pouch. Sits right next to my desk as a nice little reminder of, hey, Ross, you definitely didn't work out today. You got fucked up at the draft last night. Take some microfactors. While you're at it, Ross, take some of the liver detox we got on the site. Go through the rest of their site on firstform.com/drinkingbros. Best supplement company in the biz over there. Love their energy drinks as well. Also, their breakfast sausages. Those little protein sticks are delightful. Check everything out over there at firstform.com/drinkingbros. Everybody's got a /drinkingbros, which I love. Right now at firstform.com/drinkingbros, you're getting free shipping on orders over $75. Big boy savings when you're checking out over there. Go there right now. Get yourself some microfactors. Stay healthy, you gross fucks. Next up, we got bioproteintech.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Going to get you $30 off your first order. Guys, here's why your hormones suck. Most of you are focused on testosterone. That's not even half the puzzle. In order to absorb testosterone optimally, you must have adequate growth hormone, more specifically, its end result, growth factors. Unfortunately, growth hormone decreases every year after puberty, which may explain your poor gym performance or even excess body fat. That's where BioPro Plus comes in. BioPro Plus gives you back those growth factors naturally, giving you HGH-like results with zero needles, zero side effects, and zero doctor visits, all at a fraction of the cost of the prescription treatment. You don't have to pick up a phone anymore, pretend to talk to some fake doctor in Dripping Springs or wherever the fuck they are. I'm like, oh, I need to get myself. Not anymore. These are just 30 little individualized vials that get sent to your house. Pop one underneath your tongue every night before 9-9. Not only will you have a great night's sleep, boom, you'll start to notice results in days instead of months. And you're up and at them. Also want to point out, my skin's been great on it. I think I'm in like month 7th of these now. And I feel fucking good every day. I'm able to pop right up. So it must be working. Head on over to bioproteintech.com to learn more or click the link in our audio bio description. Use the promo code Drinking Bros for $30 off your first order. If you want to fix the way you perform, look, and feel without all the risk of big pharma synthetic stuff, got to go to bioproteintech.com. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for $30 off your first order. Last but not least here today, we got manscaped.com. Love the copy here. Call them what you want. Knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, etc. But our friends over at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too. So join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DRINKINGBROS for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town. That's in the copy, by the way. In the copy. Love these guys, dude. Whoever's writing this over there, you deserve a raise. Every man knows how scary it can be when going in for a close shave below the waist. That's why I trust Manscaped. I've had it for years. Truthfully, if you don't go into another dude's house and they don't have fucking Manscaped in their bedroom or bathroom, it's going to be a goddamn mess down there. Welcome to the jungle. Right now, they're introducing the lawnmower family, including the lawnmower 3.0 Plus and the 4.0 Pro and the 5.0 Ultra. Yep. Three ball trimmers. Isn't that awesome? Again, your boys need love too. And for this reason, each trimmer is equipped with skin-safe technology and an LED spotlight so you can see where you're shaving. The unique features for these different grooming needs are all across the board over there. If you're taking it on the go, Manscaped has you covered. These trimmers come with a travel case, even a travel lock feature to avoid any accidental powering on or off or just weird looks in the airport if you go through security. Right now, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DRINKINGBROS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code DRINKINGBROS at manscaped.com. For the best your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped.
Yeah.
There's so much we could cover. Philadelphia experiments, another one when we tried to disappear a ship, like a whole ass ship. We had this idea that we could just make it disappear. And you know that one's one that was brought
like
up
Tesla
to me recently.
Style stuff like the Prestige. I mean, I just watched the Prestige, and that's what it reminds me of. The
Philadelphia experiment. That's one for everybody to take a look at.
All right, super is that where one. Tom Hanks gets AIDS? Was that the one?
By the way, I love that movie.
So do I. It's the sequel to Forrest Gump. it is. A lot of people know that. That's a huge conspiracy. You can look it up. Jenny gave him AIDS, and then he ends up fucking dying, and Denzel's a lawyer.
I've
but
never put that together.
Well, you have
in
now.
I mean, they're in reverse chronological order release-wise, right?
They had to.
But that's fine. Because that makes
they had to.
That makes Forrest Gump a prequel, technically.
Yeah. That's
what
it was.
I'm fine with that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And they gave that baby AIDS, too.
And
sure
what
did.
About that beautiful Antonio Banderas?
Oh,
remember,
God.
He was the boyfriend.
In Philadelphia.
Oh,
that's right. To be fair, though, that guy's worth getting AIDS over. Isn't
yeah.
Good looking dude. Because there's people out there, you look at them, you're like, yeah, I'd get AIDS for that person. If it was Sidney Sweeney, people would be lined up to get AIDS, dude, right now down the street.
And you got all those beta blockers and ask Magic Johnson. He's got his whole freaking supplement thing.
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
Magic Johnson actually had to lose weight on AIDS. Like, he was so rich, he had to lose fucking weight.
Only poor people die of AIDS, though.
Oh, my God.
And if you're rich, you're good.
I don't let poor people look me in the eyes.
He sure doesn't.
Wait, can I give you an episode idea? Sure. If you like World War II shit or whatever.
Wait, for which show?
For Spread Eagle Jack or?
No, Military Mysteries. Go ahead.
Military Mysteries. Okay.
Don't interrupt.
So have you guys heard of Romery Island? Ramery Island?
No.
So in
Ramrod.
In World War II, the British surrounded a bunch of Japanese. The only place to escape was into a swamp. Allegedly, almost all of them were eaten by crocodiles. Giant 8-foot saltwater crocodiles. The British surrounded the swamp. They could hear essentially all night long. They would just hear like a gunshot and then and then just into the water over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, now I don't speak Japanese. What do you think they were saying?
Stop. Please don't.
Believe all Japanese
mate.
People.
Yeah, it's mate. You got to. Stop means mate.
Is that what it means over there?
Yeah. When you do judo, mate, that means stop.
No shit. Yeah. Man.
Leave the Jews out of it.
Yeah. That's a judo. Oh, I thought you were talking about their bread.
I stand with Israel. Done, guys. Oh, my God. Ronnie.
Free Palestine. Free Palestine. I don't understand.
Hey, man, this was your
idea.
I know
it was my idea.
You called me, okay?
Yes, Jews have dough and they make bread. I don't understand.
Unleavened. Actually, they're eating it right now because it's Passover right now.
Sure.
It is.
And they're going to pass over this show.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's the angel of death that's supposed to pass over, and I think he may make some... Make
some house calls. Yeah.
Yes.
Where were you at during 9/11?
Middle school.
Okay.
Did you do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Shit.
Yeah. He looks kind of.
Figured it all out.
He looks something. It looks like there's something around the eyes, too.
They had to put a booster seat in the cockpit.
But, yeah.
Sure did.
Oh my gosh.
High crate up there. High crate up there, little Johnny.
No, I'll never forget it. I was in gym class.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sitting in gym class, and I got home, and they sent us home early, right after the first tower fell. I remember seeing the second one fall.
Mm. Like you were already home by then?
Yeah.
Mm.
I remember running out of the second tower when the first one was falling, because I'm kidding. No, that was that guy from the league.
Yeah.
Who lied about being in 9/11.
What's his name?
Ranazizi or
Steve Ranazizi.
Yeah.
This guy?
He, like a lot of people, comedian? Had stories about 9/11.
Everybody wanted to be in it for some reason.
It's like, all right,
it was super strange.
Like,
man.
You don't get credit for it. There's, I don't think any differently of somebody who was there versus somebody who wasn't.
Would you guys ever cover it 9/11? Because right now,
I would love to. Honestly,
Rogan Tucker Carlson was on Rogan last week, and they brought it up.
And what did they say
about it potentially being a detonation? Tucker did.
Was this the Tower 7 thing?
Did yes.
They tie into that? Mm-hmm. I haven't watched this yet. So,
is that something you guys would cover? Would you ever cover conspiracies like that?
Well, conspiracies for sure, as long as we have the factual data and some legitimate professionals that are credible.
That can speak to the context.
There's no factual data for this particular argument.
There you go. Well, I don't... I don't know. And remember, History Channel is located in New York City. Mm. And that's another reason I think they're so patriotic. It's interesting. New Yorkers, aside from the liberal bias of the very wealthy there, the regular folks, they love and respect patriots and men and women in uniform. They really treat me good out there. Really wonderful.
And they love their city. A lot of them don't want to move or leave, and they're pissed off at what's going on. They just don't vote like it, which is always strange to me. Where are you from originally?
I'm Virginia boy. Yeah, Blue Ridge. Western Virginia,
in the
not
mountains?
West Virginia.
In the Hollers?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Well, sort of. In the foothills outside of the Hollers. But yeah, near Fredericksburg, just about 30, 40 minutes west of Fredericksburg is where I grew up.
Rape country.
They don't advertise it like that anymore because now it's illegal.
Oh, fuck. That's right, dude.
Somebody tagged me in a human, like a straight up human trafficking ad from like the 1960s.
Really?
And they were selling Asian women. Just selling. It was like, if she runs away, I swear to God.
In America?
No. In America, yeah. But not American people. It said part of the advertisement was, if she runs away within the first year, we'll give you a new one for free.
Shut the
swear
fuck
to God.
Up.
No shit. Yeah.
Is it on your Twitter right now?
No, I don't think I reposted
it. Twitter?
Because I would have reposted it. I don't think... Somebody sent it to me directly. That's how I saw it, so I didn't repost it or anything, but it's really funny.
We go on Twitter a lot and just fuck with people. I got blocked by Steve Martin yesterday within like 60 seconds. Comedy hero.
All I do on Twitter is call politicians cunt all the time.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Oh my gosh, so cunt. So my British bros, I mean, everybody says cunt over there, the men and the women, and they often mean it nice.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you're a beautiful cunt. Yeah. You know, you're a funny cunt. And I was at dinner with Jade and her manager, a bunch of cool families, all couples, and we're at this juke joint in Dallas. And somehow the boys come up, Billy and Foxy, and I say, you know, something about cunt this or cunt, and oh my God dang, all the women went, what? And I'm like, no, but they mean it nice. Yeah. They said, what? I said, yeah. They mean it nice.
Yeah, Ross gets the same reaction when he's talking about black people.
Yeah. When I say the same thing, I mean it nice. You know, I mean it nice.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah.
Rudy, we're not racist.
What does a brother say? One of my homies says, I think that was Billy Billigam says, yeah, I'm freaking black from the waist down.
We had a black guy on the show yesterday. We have to have one on a month to throw everybody off the trail.
Oh, boy.
He was fucking late, too. Every black guest is always late. He was late by 48 minutes yesterday.
I bet you Remy wasn't late.
No, he's never been late to anything in his fucking life.
And he's Nigerian.
No, he's the best.
He's Nigerian, dog. Hard, fucking amazing.
And that's why you need to, like, Remy needs to be, like, the hero.
He should be the head black guy.
Yes. HNIC, they call it.
He's in charge of all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Be like, for real, be like Remy. That goes for anybody of any race, though.
Be like Remy. Be like Remy at the end of the day.
I got a great new dark green, as we say in the military, dark green seal. Black frog. His name's Q, Jovan Quarles. Navy for 10 years as a submarine tech. Mm-hmm. Then went to BUDS 10 years in, the very first black honor graduate of BUDS. And he's my new instructor with me, and he's doing great too.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
What do you think? Why do you think that is? Do black people just don't want to be Navy SEALs?
Many people don't.
That's what I'm saying.
To.
In all sincerity, like when you look at things that are cool or jobs and people to look up to, that's not one of them, I would imagine, for the black community.
Yeah, I think you're right. A person has to be attracted to the romance, not the paycheck. A person needs to be attracted to the romance and the drama of a thing, not the paycheck. And you can understand why most people are attracted to the paycheck.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people that go into the military and then find themselves later into the special operations community, they're attracted to the drama and the romance of it, the story of it. There's no job security in it, obviously. And it's not like those skills directly transition into another job or some profession in the workplace here in America, or you know what I'm saying? So you're really joining to be into some kind of story of heroics, of sacrifice. By the way, I'm so thankful I did it. I wouldn't be who I am without it. Yeah. Very thankful I did it.
Yeah. What do you tell somebody today, though, that wants to do it?
I say go for it, because there's so few of men that want to be more and stand for more than themselves. However, I'm letting everybody out there know, when you step into a mega narrative that involves character, grit, in which merit is the only way forward, you won't see it at first. And God bless you that you survive and thrive in combat. But years later, when you're here back home, you're going to hit a tipping point, and you'll find yourself as leaders in whatever business or whatever passion you want. So go for it. We need more of you. So go for it.
And what about you?
No, it gave me everything. Yeah, I grew up in a trailer park in rural Virginia. You know, if I wasn't in the military, then I would probably have nothing that I have right now. You know, not only did it give me a clearance, obviously, but it also gave me life skills that, you know, really progressed my civilian career. You know, I think it's cool to hate on the U.S. and the U.S. military right now. I think that's something that's popular and it's going around, but there's still no military fighting force on the planet that can match the United States, right? Regardless of that one, you know, viral photo that you saw that you think is somehow representative of a systemic problem, there are, you know, men and women that are absolutely honing their knives right now across the planet, and there just isn't any better military than the United States. And I don't know that at the current pace especially with us, you know, spending as much as we do, that there will ever be one. You know, again, too many opportunities that I have been given. You know, I've taken advantage of those because of the lessons that I learned in the U.S. military. It gave me everything.
Yeah, and a little guy like you'd be somebody's step stool.
Well, you have to take all you can get, yeah. And otherwise, I would just end up being, you know, I don't know, shining somebody's shoes because I'm right there already.
Yeah, you're that tiny, and it's like, hey, I got something to reach on the top shelf. Let me hop up on your shoulders.
Don't forget the tunnel rats in Vietnam. I mean, Ronnie's got all kinds of stuff he can do because he's gung-ho and he's motivated. You're going to be a success, and you are a success at anything and everything you do, baby.
He just said you were going to be a tunnel rat.
And well, I like how that. Rad okay, is that? That? Yeah, fuck
those
yeah.
are badasses.
What were the tunnel? I don't know the story. What's the tunnel rats?
So you've seen Peaky Blinders, right?
You've seen Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I've gotten gumped up quite a few times.
You remember they give him a moonbeam,
yeah,
the old style flashlights, and a 45,
yeah. Send him down in a tunnel and say go find something.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah,
I don't think we can show this, right?
No,
yeah. Oh. Gump is too big, dude.
Gump's too big.
The movie.
I gotcha. You know?
I could watch this all day.
I saw Gary Sinise on Sunday.
Yeah, did you really?
Mm-hmm.
They'd give him a handgun. They'd send him down into these tunnels where you know the Viet Cong were, and say, hey. Either kill something
clear
or come back and let us know there's something in there.
Yeah. No shit.
For real. Another great scene in Platoon. You see Willem Dafoe going down
Dafoe,
there
with
his freaking 45 and his moonbeam, and he's scrawny and scrappy and hard, and he goes down there and whoops it on. Yeah, heavy. Army and Marine Corps.
They don't call the Greatest Generation for nothing.
Yeah. Yes. Well, since you guys are actors, favorite war movie? Dan and I did the list maybe 6 or 7 months back. We went through the top 25 that Variety had. For you guys personally, what's your favorite war movie?
I grew up with, I'm going to answer seriously, Saving Private Ryan. You know, I mean, that's the war movie
for me. Man, that's a good one, dude. The first 20 fucking minutes of that are the most intense shit of all time.
I remember my grandma saying to me, we were sitting down watching, she was like, oh my God, why are we watching? And he's like bleeding out from his stomach, and I'm just glued to the screen. You know, watching that, the grit. There's like a story that people tell all the time that World War II veterans went to see that in the theaters, and they had to like walk out when it was initially aired because they had gotten that beach landing so well.
That's so intense, man.
So authentic.
Yeah. What about you, Rudy?
There's a few. I just saw a film, and I thought it would be, and it's positioned as this. Red, blue, state, freaking
Civil War.
Yes, I saw it.
Oh shit! How is it, dude?
Well, I was given privy to go watch it and do a review.
Okay.
Way better than I could have ever imagined, and the last 15 minutes of combat may be the best ever done on par with Saving Private Ryan, except with modern kit and modern TTPs. Tanks running down the freaking Lincoln Memorial.
Dude,
freaking heavy.
It's playing up here, and I want to see. Well, here's the thing. I got three kids, and so I usually, if I'm going to the movies, I'll take one of the kids.
How old?
Well, I can't take him to this.
No, it's too heavy.
But what I was curious about that I couldn't figure out was why it had bumped Dune 2 out of the IMAX theater, and you're saying it's because the war scenes were pretty fucking dope?
Yes. I was told to watch it on IMAX.
Somebody else told me that too. I have one friend
that has seen it so far that I, and she said specifically, watch it on IMAX.
Okay.
It's really good if you don't think about it too much, because we all that know geopolitics and resources and assets, I'm saying, okay, how is the military and their admin and logistics working, except not with the Pentagon? I don't know.
Well, no, they do. They work with the Pentagon. The Pentagon allows, we've actually done this at Black Rifle to do commercials for Soft before.
So they can give you a detachment.
They'll allow you, they'll assign somebody to you, and they'll let you use all their fucking equipment and shit to a certain degree.
What I mean is in the film for the war, well, after a little bit, without command and control and small unit leadership all the way up and down, a military without an overarching command structure and commander's intent is not going to, you know what they're going to start doing? They're going to start raping women. They're going to start drinking and doing drugs. How are the birds getting loaded up with munitions? I'm telling you what, the military is not going to work at that scale with Raptors flying and rotary wing. If there's not, anyway, don't think about the movie too much. And that was the only thing I had to a bone to pick, but wow, it's worth it. But my favorite war movie, first, my favorite war movie is Heat. My favorite war movie is Heat, because it's the ultimate fucking war movie. It's the freaking best of the best on this side of the coin, best of the best on that side of the coin. Fury needs to be brought
Fury
up as well.
Is so good.
A lot of people love Fury.
I love Fury.
Fury needs to be brought up. And, of course, Saving Private Ryan. And, of course, Platoon.
Black Hawk Down.
I think Fury.
Oh, Black Hawk. Maybe the prettiest war movie ever made.
I think Fury's totally underrated because one thing that's really interesting to me about all these war movies is that they pretty much always follow essentially like an infantry unit.
Yes.
Right? But all war basically from World War One on is super mechanized.
Yes.
And that's why I love Fury because Fury is just machines killing like little meat people. With giant
just
machines.
Bags of bone and blood.
Yeah. Like, that is a much better representation to me, I think, of World War II than even Same Private. Even though Same Private Ryan was brilliant.
Yes.
Like, it's one of my favorite movies, but, like, the machinery. Like, the machinery gets overlooked.
Didn't the German World War One movie...
All Quiet on the Western Front as well.
That was fantastic.
I know. I'm assuming I haven't actually seen it. I'm assuming it followed an infantry unit, but it's more about trench warfare, right?
Yeah.
Gnarly. I should say back to Michael Mann's Heat, which by the way he's in pre-production on Heat 2, and I'm trying to get on that picture. It's more of a special operations film, is what it is. But what I love is its strategy, its intensity, and checking and testing and rehearsals, all the real things that make units successful under combat stress and over time.
Wasn't the gunfight there in Heat considered to be like the best depiction of
the breakdown
The sound of it was what got me.
The dude,
do you know how he did it? You know how he did the sound? Well, first of all, you know how he did that whole thing? He built 2-spec in plywood, Michael Mann, that downtown, and had his actors run with blank fire weapons and fight. And continue to rehearse how they're going to break out, how they're going to engage, and
actually
move to target.
Actually had to reload.
Yes.
And
no shit. You
know, he did 2-spec plywood. Then on the day when he was there downtown in L.A., he had the whole downtown mic'd up with micro mics everywhere. And picking up the authentic blank firing.
Bouncing off the building.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, that's cool.
And the guy who invented Steadicam did the camera operating for that.
It's Michael Mann. He's the best American filmmaker.
The guy that was working for him that did the Steadicam, And I think he's one of the showrunners on SEAL Team now, that guy. But he did Steadicam for everything. Just go... look up Heat and look for the Steadicam operator and click on his IMDb profile and it's the same dude.
Awesome.
That's done all of it.
Awesome. You'll recognize too when Neil McCauley and Chris Shirley, it's Val Kilmer and De Niro, and they're chopping their way through the close quarter or the near side ambush, the police, and Wes Studi gets a shot on Chris Shirley on Kilmer, and he goes down. There's a shot of De Niro coming up and doing a magazine change and grabbing him, and it's HD. It's some of the very first HD ever done, and I think it is the first HD done in cinema because it had only been used in sports before that. This is 94. That gritty, that really, really hyper-real, that when he grabs freaking Kilmer up and he's shaking and he's holding him.
Well, you know, so again, there was like this, I don't know if this is true or not, I'm not a Marine, but there's this rumor that the gunfight in Heat was used to teach a moving, you know, what a moving gunfight looks like.
When I was in
Marines.
SOI.
Really?
When I was in School of Infantry in 1998-99. That's what we were used as a training film, what fire and maneuver should be, communication, magazine changes, and continuing to push, move.
The bounding.
Yes.
Yeah. The movie Heat?
Heat.
No
the,
shit.
The gunfight there
textbook.
Is like, yeah.
Textbook.
There's not a whole lot of long modern-ish gunfights on film or television.
Back then, especially.
Like they're it's not only...
Well, it's expensive.
Not only are they rare, generally speaking, but they're also extremely short, like 90 seconds, right? Whereas people credit, I think it's... Well, the Omaha Beach scene in Saving Private Ryan... Wow. Something like that for the modern, for like the GWAT era, it doesn't exist. It still, to this day, doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Now, I guess Black Hawk Down came the closest for modern warfare because the whole movie's kind of a continuous gunfight to some degree.
24 hours.
But there's lulls and blah, 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 right? I mean, I'm talking about like a serious shoot and maneuver gunfight with two large forces. Yeah. Just hasn't been done for because it would cost $100 million for that part of the film,
and
to
what
be honest.
And what I understand is that Heat's budget was not that big. It's that Michael Mann is such an excellent writer, producer, director, and his actors are the freaking highest level too. And his tech advisor / bodyguard / everything, SAS cat, shout out to my buddy Billy Billingham, his buddy from the SAS. He also did Collateral, taught Tom Hanks or Tom Cruise how to do all his work in Collateral.
Can you imagine Tom Hanks in Collateral?
Different movie.
He could do it.
Different movie.
He could do it. But yes, same guy, really amazing. So he's got solid cats, and he's my favorite American filmmaker. I'm very excited to the series Heat 2 that he's working on now.
Yeah. So we chatted about on Ross Patterson Revolution the other day. Bob, who's the cast already? Is it Austin Butler?
Yes, sir. Yeah. As Val Kilmer.
No shit. That's course, who he's
look
playing?
At, look at his face.
Okay. Who else is in that? Pull up the IMDb on that.
I wonder it who's going to play De Niro.
Just Austin Butler and Adam Driver are listed
far. Oh, Adam Driver. That's right. Is Driver playing De Niro or he's is playing he playing Pacino?
Young Neil McCauley.
Oh, he's playing De Niro.
He's playing De Niro, yeah. Okay. I didn't know that. Shit.
I love that Adam Driver. I got to admit, I love his acting. Yeah. I love his acting.
Yeah, so you're trying to get in on that right now?
I'd love to. It'd be an honor. I want to work with Michael Mann's about 80 years old now, and I want to get in there and work with my hero in this world of production and storytelling. I want to work with him.
Well, it's wild as you know, everybody gets older here. All the best directors are getting older, and everybody's kind of working on their final projects. Ridley Scott's one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Martin Scorsese is one of them.
When's Gladiator 2 supposed to be out?
Oh,
Thanksgiving year, believe, or Christmas, I believe. Check the release date on it.
I'll check it. I am also seeing Ana de Armas and Al Pacino in Heat 2.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, wow. So Pacino too, huh?
It's a sequel and a prequel, according to Mann.
No shit.
I read the book. So you're going to read the book.
It's like Godfather 2.
Okay.
Yes,
That's what it sounds like. It's a sequel and prequel at the same time.
Gotcha. Yes, so with that, I think Pacino's got to be 84.
84.
I mean, that could be his last role. But all these guys are trying to make one more, even Eastwood.
Wow,
he's making a movie now.
He looks like Jimmy Carter right now.
Oh, dude. He's
making a picture of Clint Eastwood from recently because he's 93.
It was very old. I saw a video.
It's rough. He's directing a movie right now.
Yeah.
You got to love him. You gotta love him. He's still doing it. He's freaking. There he is. He's not going quietly into the night.
Well,
man.
If he stops, he's gonna die.
Clint Eastwood or Joe Biden, you pick.
Right there.
Basically the same guy at this point.
Look at that, dude. Isn't that nuts?
I admire
him. Well, there was a video that somebody was just sharing around on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He was just at an event or something, and everybody
Jimmy
was saying
Carter?
No.
It was his wife's funeral.
Was that what it
was?
Yeah,
it was the event he was at. Yeah.
I think if I'm Jimmy Carter, I start going to other people's funerals.
Yep.
But like,
and then just flexing on him. Doing selfies with a casket.
Oh, I'm done.
He's just got a shirt on that says still alive.
Yeah, still alive, bitch.
LOL.
Smell my peanuts, you know?
Oh, my.
Big peanut guy.
He's a big peanut.
Nobody believed that was actually Eastwood in that video, though. The comment section was everybody saying, no way, no way, no way, but it's him.
What's his last movie? He's directing it now. Look up Eastwood's last movie. There's a ton of famous people in it.
It's called Spread Eagle Jack.
Oh, God. Could you imagine, dude?
We got Eastwood.
Eastwood.
I would even take Scott Eastwood to direct.
Eastwood and Reyes.
Yeah, I'm contractually obligated to neither confirm or deny.
Yeah.
It is called.
On that one, contractually obligated.
Juror number two
with Leslie Bibb, Zoe Deutsch, J.K. Simmons, Nicholas Holt, Toni Collette, Kiefer Sutherland.
It's a good cast.
It's a bunch of people, yeah.
It's a banger. I remember reading about it and I was like, oh, shit.
Awesome.
And it's about the Trump jury up in Manhattan. So I'm kind of waiting for that to shake out.
I don't think that's right.
It's not true?
No.
Okay. Didn't know. Thought I'd ask, obviously. Juror number two.
Holy smokes, look at that skeleton. That could be the freaking giant of Afghanistan.
Yeah, what well, it
Kandahar.
Is.
Look
it's
at
got
it.
A, it's got a fucking nice
solve the mystery there, stuff it is right there. There.
Yeah, take it back with you guys. Take it over to History Channel, dude. And just let them know you found it.
Yep.
I got we season two, motherfucker. Look, I found that giant.
Can't cover it now. No.
I found that giant was raping small soldiers over there.
Part of the story of that, by the way, was that when they saw the little cave or enclosure it came out of, there was crushed up military equipment in front of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, like, presumably that he had done this before. He had murdered or raped other soldiers.
Holy
yeah.
smokes.
There's a whole bunch of lore behind this. Yeah. Like, it's something that there, quite a few people follow.
It's probably just a really tall dude raping people in the mountains, to be honest. And they don't want it to just be that. It's got to be something supernatural. Otherwise, your rectal integrity is in question.
Yeah.
And it's going to give you something to look up to, which is nice.
I have to look up to everything.
I think at 13 feet, everybody's looking up to that guy.
Well, Not me.
Yeah, yo, look at Ross. Not me.
Yeah, probably eye to eye with that motherfucker. No big deal. Another day of the J-O-B for this guy.
You would be eye to hog with that guy.
Well.
You would fuck your face until you died.
I sure wouldn't, dude. Yeah. I've got a strong jaw.
By the way, how often do you think an Afghani giant in the mountains is washing his dick?
Never.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Yeah. I bet you that.
Not thing. Once in his life.
Smells like an Indian outhouse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. You remember the scene in Slumdog Millionaire when he has to go into the freaking toilet?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's probably the worst smelling toilet. Indian shits?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Maddie was just talking about that. He that loves the Indian curry? Food, but it burns.
It sure does. Burns on the way out.
There's no meat.
No.
Not enough.
It's just soup and hot peppers, dude, just spraying out of your ass.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to have diarrhea. We may as well make food that looks like it. Yeah, why confuse God?
Kills the parasites. Right? You're not going to have worms. You're not going to have any issues like that.
Soup it up, dude. Soup it up. God, look at him twisting his mustache over there in the corner thinking about it, dude.
Oh, boy.
He's getting something on the way home tonight. What? You getting that curry soup on the way home tonight?
Yeah,
you diaping up? Diaping up? Souping up? I like it.
I actually might get some... Indian food tonight. Now you got me thinking about it.
Yeah, do it.
I like Indian food.
I do too. The tandoori, freaking love it. Oh, I love the tandoori.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, I love tiki masala. Yeah, God,
the food's great. Yeah. Not so much the people.
No,
I love the people. Or they're the in shits. My neighborhood.
Are they?
I live in Little Elm, Texas, outside of Frisco. All Indian people. Not a single bit of freaking garbage anywhere. Now, what is funny? I guess all those little Indian kids. Are always studying because everybody's a doctor, a surgeon, or a freaking tech genius. The kids don't come outside. I have this beautiful park with this great basketball court and monkey bars and all this. And you only see a couple white kids, a black kid, but no Indians. Even though the whole place is Indian, nope, they're cracking them books, brother.
Are you in a residential neighborhood?
I am. Residential.
You are.
Yeah.
Where do they plug in their magic carpets? I'm kidding.
It's Tesla walls.
What were you gonna say, Bob?
They're the only place where they all go is the tennis courts. They all
play tennis.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're trying to lure in these Indian children, Rudy, just build a tennis court.
I don't. I'm teaching martial arts for free at the park. So
just kicking the shit out of 12-year-olds. Rudy's just like brutalizing people in the fucking park.
Yeah.
Like, officer, I was teaching them.
Yeah.
Like nobody signed up for a class. Nobody signed up for a class, Mr. Reyes.
Oh,
you just showed up and started kicking the shit out of 12-year-olds.
I don't know if this is true, but isn't there like a recurrent problem of in India people pooping in the street? Or something.
It's everywhere.
Sure.
I mean, shit everywhere. I don't know about shitting in the street specifically, but definitely sewage in the street. Yeah.
Yes.
It's
like San Francisco.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you go to the top of the hill.
That's literally people shitting in the street in San Francisco.
Yeah. It is.
So you can make the case that San Francisco is worse off than fucking Mumbai, right?
Yeah.
I think
there's like maps. The only reason I brought this was just raised to my attention the other day. There's like maps where
it's like
you can
a little blue dot on every turn
and see where the local piece of feces is.
Bob, pull up
you.
That San Francisco turd map.
Because it's basically the entire
city.
You can
dump out everywhere.
I've learned so much San Francisco a lot.
I've learned so much.
I've just dumped out in front of the Full House. That house in Full House the other day.
Oh,
yeah,
my
look at that,
gosh.
Dude.
That's just where fucking human shit. Look at all those little dots.
Duke maps.
Wow.
Duke maps is what they call it.
Duke maps.
Brought to you by Thick Dukes, which is a product I make.
Oh,
yeah, like the Tanner family, you know, in Full House. You can go and shit in front of that house.
That's why Danny Tanner was so obsessed with keeping everything clean all the time.
Sure was. Everybody was dumping out in front of his house, too. Yeah.
Just fucking spraying diarrhea right on the side of his home.
And that's San Francisco.
Yeah, dysentery. You know, there's some, you know, there's worms, there's dysentery, there's dengue fever. There's things that you should be concerned about with feces.
Yeah, and that, I mean, look, that's probably why everybody's gay there.
It might be. It might be. We'll look into that.
The Castro got a bad case of dengue fever.
Go out and take a shit on Hayden Ashbury Street.
Yes, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That's what it is. Now's the point of the show we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you. Or helps you become the person you are today.
John Walker Lynn.
Yeah. Is it Peter Dinklage for you? Who is it?
Well played, sir.
Who is it, little guy?
Nice.
What do we got? What do we got? You up first.
Brought to you by somebody that inspired me? Do I have to answer this like seriously? Or is
It's always serious. It can be a very serious show. Whatever you want.
It's a very serious show.
Rudy Reyes.
Oh, thank you, brother.
It's not the first time Rudy's gotten it on the show.
Really? Are you serious?
I'm being very serious about that. Like, I'm not trying to, like, look at my friend, you know, that I have now, Rudy Reyes. I'm being serious. Like, I grew up watching him on Generation Kill. Getting a chance to work with him now is, you know, kind of a dream.
That's awesome.
Well, a lot of people in our audience, I don't know if grew up is the right word, but definitely through their 20s and 30s, watch a lot of shit on Funker as well. I know I've watched a lot of decapitation videos over there.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't watched any decapitations on Funker because are boundaries.
The better combat footage that was always unavailable was always over there.
Getting a chance to be a part of the Funker team is, I remember.
And then when like YouTube, what was it, 2016, 17, where they started fucking with gun stuff, Funker was the only place you could go to find any of this shit for a while.
But then they ripped a bunch of shit from us, too.
Oh, they stole so much shit from you guys, yeah.
We had hundreds and hundreds of videos from the Syrian Civil War that were ripped. And that was one of the drivers behind what we do now, which is really our own app, our own website. Like, that's where we spend our time. On YouTube, now we do our podcast up there.
Yeah.
I do a live show where I break down, like, all the shit that we have found. Mm. But it's all to direct you to where nobody's going to steal it. Or nobody's going to, like, keep you from being able to watch it. But I love the mission of Funker. I'm privileged to be a part of that as well. It's a small team. You know, we're still five and a half dudes. I'm not the half.
Come on.
I'm not the half.
You knew I was going to ask. I was going
to
ask.
I mean, most of our guys have full 9-to-5s, right? Yeah. And what they do at Funker is really just because of the mission of trying to archive all this stuff so that it's available. You know, if you wanted to know what trench warfare looks like, not necessarily in World War I, but right now, I could point you to it.
Yeah,
you know, if you want to look, you want to see what incendiary munitions look like, you know, 9M22S, that kind of stuff. We're archivers. That's what we do.
What about you, Rudy?
Oh, man, I'm sure many people have said this, but it is Sylvester Stallone. And I'll tell you why. You know, I was just watching.
Why would no one has ever people said that? Have really? Said Sylvester Stallone?
What? You're kidding me. You're kidding me. No one has ever said Sylvester Stallone on here?
Why would they?
You're kidding me.
Is it because he has hot daughters?
No. What he did with Rocky Balboa and Rocky, that he wrote his screenplay, nobody took him seriously, so they offered him a lot of money to let Burt Reynolds take the role. And he said, no, I'll take...
That movie would have sucked, by the way.
Burt Reynolds
is Rocky, 6 foot three. Burt Reynolds
is Rocky.
I'm going
to take no money because I believe in this. And it was a very small movie. It won a couple of Oscars. He won an Oscar at 27 years old. And then what he created with First Blood, the Rambo character, but specifically First Blood. We thought it was so bad. When we were little kids, brother, don't you remember? We were like, I want the survival knife with the compass and the fishing hooks. And you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to make a poncho. And, you know, I love wearing ponchos because he was badass, killing the pig, everything. You know, it was, we've always been for that king shit cop. Hit you first blood, not me. He created this iconic anti-hero. Who from a war that everybody chose to forget. Little did we know that we would be in the same kind of thing later, because people, you know, a lot of people just moved on and chose to forget.
And then Home Alone ripped off his whole thing.
Yeah.
What?
Home Alone is just Rambo, but for a child.
Oh, you're kidding.
Child,
oh, yeah. I'm done.
No, anyway, Macaulay Culkin is a young
is
Rambo.
Is it not?
It is.
No way.
Yeah. No, perspective is a hell of a thing. I've never thought about it.
I'm just saying that's the same story.
So Macaulay Culkin, when he was 8 years old in that movie, they put him in a room and then they made him watch all the Rambos on repeat. And so he was full method. And
get out.
When Joe Pesci came in and he was sitting with the paint cans and stuff like that, Yeah, he would scream out phrases from Rambo, and then they would cut. And
they'd have to come back and ADR the lines in.
You guys, correct, yeah.
Is this a self-portrait of you that's up here?
Yeah, right, Bob, what's... By the way, that Macaulay Culkin story is not
this
true.
This is from the...
is this a teaser?
No, it's from the softcore porn that... Sly did that's before he was an actor.
Is that Stallone, Bob?
Yeah, that's soft core. That don't look soft.
You can
to
see
me.
Balls, on you just top? Can't see penetration.
Okay, on top? Wowzers.
I hope so.
Yeah, the one with the balls, hopefully.
Wowzers. You know what? We've all had some skeletons in our closet, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if he considers that a skeleton. He had a decent looking hog.
He's got a great sack of balls.
I mean, there's at least one bone in something.
Scrote, though. I've never seen a scrotum before like that.
It must have been very hot.
Yeah.
So camera one is covering it, Bob, the phrase. Can you scoot that up? Is that a girl underneath those balls or no?
What's it matter?
Yeah, there's a you can
I need to know that.
You can find this video on the internet.
We're here right now. Is it a girl or a man? Who's he boning?
I believe it's a woman.
Okay. Sly, what? I still love you. I still respect Sly, you. You're still my hero dog.
Is that his O face?
Show his O face.
Show his O face right to Rudy.
And he's banging
yeah, yeah, yeah.
A white girl and a black girl. Good for him.
Yeah.
Variety is the spice of life.
Yeah, I'll keep it.
Sly, I'm sorry.
Hey, Rudy,
I think it'd go
it's
that
all
way.
Right, Rudy, it's all right. Oh, yeah. Now, if I write Spread Eagle Jack,
I'm in. Yeah, I'll take it for scale.
Yeah,
I'll
so what if scale. We get Sly to play the old Spread Eagle Jack?
Yeah.
He's the guy that you're fucking recreating all the stuff.
Well, he doesn't hand it off. He dies on a mission. Okay. You know, to jack off.
Yeah.
It was just too dangerous. It was too windy up on the top of a mountain.
Yeah.
He was at Kilimanjaro.
Yes.
Wind blows him off the mountain.
And then, like, in season, what would we say, 25?
Yeah.
Somewhere around season 12, you find some of his semen that was there before, get it tested, and he turns out to be your, like, grandfather.
I get some DNA evidence.
I he's like your dad or your grandfather or something.
Great. I learned something
like,
new
holy
today.
Shit. It's like Bad Boys 4 or whatever.
Sure is.
Whichever one it just was where he found out that little Mexican kid was his child or
can
whatever.
Can I tell you, when I first got into entertainment, I did Generation Kill, and I did a couple of TV shows, and was very, very excited, and I started a project of Rambo 71. And I wanted to do John Rambo's last mission.
Dude, why has nobody ever done a prequel series for Rambo as an operator? Rambo as an operator.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the other one I wanted to do is John Kreese from
Creasy Bear.
From Man on Fire.
That'd be so good.
Do you know how many HBO seasons you could do of him murdering people all over the world?
You're exactly right.
That would be the source material exists.
You're right.
And have Denzel direct the whole thing.
That's a great idea.
Why would you not do that?
Great
I would
idea.
Watch. I don't care what the promotion right. was Shit for. I would watch every one of those.
I'd watch every season of Creasy Bear.
Absolutely. I also think that the guy who wrote the original Man on Fire book, not the script, not the one from, I think it was 83 with a white dude in it or whatever, but.
John Glenn.
John Glenn was the astronaut.
What's his name?
Glenn.
Henry? Something? What the fuck is his name?
The freaking hard ripped cat from
Steve
Urban
Buscemi.
Cowboy. No, Urban Cowboy.
Emmanuel Lewis. Forest Whitaker.
No. What's his name?
Scott Glenn.
Scott Glenn.
Yeah, Scott Glenn.
Glenn played Creasy Bear, but it wasn't nearly as good of a film.
No, not even close. But the point was, I think there's a book that was written about it or was the original source material. And the guy who wrote the book did write about John Creese's experience working for Ground Branch or whatever the fuck he was doing.
And this was back in the 80s. How cool would that?
I mean,
would it be?
A writer back then wouldn't have known enough to write a good one, to be honest.
But now
you could write the real story.
Yeah, we got Jack Carr and some cats that could come in on the screenplay.
I mean, that would be fucking dope. And have
be great.
What's his nuts? Antoine fucking
Fuqua
direct everything and have fucking
you're exactly
Denzel
right. This would be very successful.
Dude, everybody that's ever come near a gun would watch the fuck out of that.
The audience can't see this. His penis is so hard
it's,
right now.
Absolutely.
You're bricked up down there, brother.
But a Rambo bricked would be up. The same
it,
way.
It did move as soon as he mentioned that.
Yeah, that would be fucking dope.
I wanted to do Rambo 71 and I was young, you know, I was, you know, 12, 13 years ago and I could have played a younger John Rambo and about where, you know, he fought the final freaking fight with the Hmong people fighting the freaking Cambodian VC. Mm. And ultimately, we DD'd out of there. We moved out and left them to die. He goes back in to chop his way through and save some. Ultimately, he's the only one of his SOG team that lives. Mm. And now he internalizes. And
fuck
so
yeah.
Later, you see, so I wrote this thing, and I'm too old to play him now, but I'd be happy to find a younger veteran that could do it, and I'd love to team up with Stallone on Rambo 71.
Mm. Well, he doesn't have much time left either. He's in his 80s.
Yeah,
he's still making Tulsa soon. King though.
I love the guy.
Maybe they're trying to cancel him off that right
no
now.
No way, yeah. Brother. What?
He called a bunch of extras fat retards, and
were they fat or retarded?
They were. And he goes, caught overheard talking to the director. One of the extras said had turned him in and just said, you know, Stallone was back there with the director saying, "Hey, what's with these extras? They're all fat. They're all retarded. Like, cast some beautiful people behind." And so casting director had to come out and say, I'm quitting the second season of Tulsa King. All this other shit.
Do you know how easy it is to find a casting director?
An extras casting director?
Yeah, dude.
It could be anyone.
It could be anybody in this room.
Matt DeMeo, like, casting director.
That's it.
New job opportunity.
Here's your direction. Find people that aren't ugly and fat and retarded.
That's right. All he asked
the
for.
End.
That's
easy. Right. Yeah. I'm on her side. Sounds like she nailed Tulsa.
Yeah.
That's true, actually. Maybe if she's making an authenticity play, then... Fair enough.
Yeah. Right. Jury's still out, so we'll see. Either way, it was a pleasure having you guys.
Thank you,
Rudy, always.
Thank you, bro.
Great to meet you. Tell everybody what time and day the TV show airs.
Ronnie. Yeah, it's going to be Mondays at 10 o'clock Eastern, so 9 Central on the History Channel.
Awesome, man.
Holy shit. Fucking Scott Glenn was just on Tim Ferriss's show like 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Or 3 weeks ago, yeah.
We should get him on here, dude.
He's 85 years old.
Still a stud. Scott's still freaking stud. Recon Marine in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we'll look into it.
That'd be dope.
Awesome.
That'd be dope for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you guys for bringing us on. Like I said, Ronnie and I are doing everything we can to promote this show and get it out there and put some asses in seats and get people involved with freaking rad dudes doing rad stories. And get people excited about America again.
You know? Absolutely.
You know. Do you have that step stool so I can get down off of
it? Yeah, we'll get a ladder for you.
Just do a PLF. A PLF. Off of there. It'll be fine.
Bob, call the fire department so we can get him off the chair.
Thank you.
Ask for one of the big ladders there for a taller building, obviously.
Ross, you're funny, brother. I know that I love you, but you have really got some comic timing, man. You really do.
Well, you hope after 4,000 episodes,
yeah, I guess so.
You end up being decent at
That's
it. We'll
so
see.
Many episodes.
We'll wow. see. Wow. Go to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away at that point. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.